The government is to help British Steel replace its energy-intensive coal-burning blast furnaces with electric alternatives. Only a short while after Number 10 gave the green light for a new coal mine near Scotland.
Sadly, we're going to be seeing over the next few years more contradictory issues when it comes to what's green, what's environmentally acceptable and what is not. And then put that against actually the practical issues about the difficulties in obtaining power, the cost of power, and a lot of that you could say put down to the war in Ukraine. But it's a global issue, this one, which is going to mean that politicians will be, I'm afraid, well, whether it's actually greenwash or pure green, is going to be interesting to see actually what comes out.
It also comes a few days after British Volt, a car battery gigafactory, touted as a Brexit success story, declared bankruptcy.
British Steel underpins essential sectors in the UK economy, from aerospace to transport to construction. And the unions, such as GMB, are saying that the government handout will do little for the long-term future of an industry that's lurching from one crisis to another. Sidepur is up with Scunthorpe.
Ukrainian officials took part in a meeting of EU foreign affairs ministers on Monday via video link. An additional €500 million military aid package for Kiev was confirmed, but the EU is at pains to point out that's just a drop in the ocean compared to what the bloc has already provided since last March.
Keep in mind the figure of 49 billions is the total amount of support to Ukraine, military, financial, economic and humanitarian.
Just a few days ago in the European Parliament, the strategy was condemned.
It's militarism that's driving a dramatic rise in geopolitical tensions, drastically undermining our security. And you'd think that the Ukraine war would have shocked us out of this approach, but no.
Workers have taken to the streets of Brussels to demand peace negotiations.
We need to stop this war because it's affecting our workers, and our workers have already been affected with prices because of the COVID situation.
EU foreign ministers adopted a fresh round of sanctions against Iran on Monday over alleged human rights abuses. The grounds for such sanctions are vehemently rejected by Tehran. Critics say the West's policy towards Russia and Iran is being driven by Washington. Moscow and Tehran control the largest energy reserves in the world. Analysts say the EU's access to these markets is being hampered due to influence from the United States, and ultimately it is ordinary citizens who are paying the price. Also on Monday, Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shtayyeh updated EU foreign ministers on the appalling situation in the occupied territories. There was absolutely no discussion on the EU side regarding possible sanctions against Israel. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a topic that is a very hot topic today amongst religious people in general, as well as scholars who investigate into religious matters, philosophers, theologians, these kind of people. And that is the question of religious pluralism. This question wasn't so important in the past because there wasn't a lot of contact between the adherents of various faiths, at least to the extent that it is today. And that's why we usually categorize this problem within the science known as new theology, as opposed to previous, theology, old theology or traditional theology, which took it for granted in the sense that it was a kind of an assumption in theology that Islam is the religion, you know, and there is no acceptable form of religious pluralism at all. So this is, you know, a question that has come up today, and, you know, a lot of people are interested in it. Sometimes people ask, what does Islam say about this? You know, obviously we can approach this subject from various angles, from an intellectual point of view and from a rational point of view. We can also approach it from a kind of a more traditional and religious point of view. Examine what do the Hadith and the Quran say about this, you know. So there are certain verses in the Holy Quran which are kind of very, very apparent and very adamantly kind of staunchly say that no, any other religion besides Islam, if it's followed, at least, you know, following and subsequent to the advent of Islam, won't be accepted from this person. Should anyone follow a religion other than Islam, the Quran says, it shall never be accepted from him. Right? Kind of very, very, very apparent. And very explicitly mentioned, you know, the fact that, you know, it's not going to be accepted from a person. You know, now, of course, there's discussions, you know, here, whether this is applicable to those people who have never been invited to Islam, have never heard the call of Islam, or as general, even those people who have never heard of it, you know, regardless of whether they made the effort to do so or they didn't. You know, so this is kind of a touchy subject. It should be examined in its own place. In a very beautiful hadith, it's been narrated. This hadith is in Al-Kafi, that Ali ibn Abi Hamza, one of the narrators of hadith, narrated from Abu Basir, another narrator, who said, I heard him asking Abu Abdullah, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, may I be sacrificed for you? Please inform me about the religion that Allah has obligated upon his servants, the religion that they cannot afford to be ignorant of, and that the only religion that will be accepted from them. Why? What is it? The Imam alayhi salam replied, bearing witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, establishing the prayer, praying the alms tax, pilgrimage to the house for those who are able to do so, fasting the month of Ramadan. These were the things the Imam mentioned. Then the Imam momentarily paused and then repeated twice, and divide guardianship for the divinely appointed Imams al-Wilaya. He mentioned this twice. Right, so these are, Imam alludes to the basic pillars of Islamic faith as well as the most important pillars, practical pillars and of Islamic practice. The Imam explicitly mentions these and reinforces that there is explicitly mentions that Islam is the only correct religion, at least posterior and subsequent to the advent of Islam. Thank you for joining us here. On The Key, we were looking at religious pluralism in the light of the Quran and Hadith. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
in the limelight.
The discovery of classified documents from one of U.S. President Joe Biden's offices and also his home, as well as former Vice President Mike Pence's house, has attracted media attention. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency has covered this story and tells us more. Officials confirmed on Tuesday, 24th of January, documents with classified markings were found recently at former Vice President Mike Pence's Indiana home. Mike Pence's team notified the National Archives recently that a small number of documents were inadvertently boxed and transported to the former Vice President's home at the end of the last administration. Mike Pence's lawyer wrote to the archives, "The vice president was unaware of the existence of sensitive or classified documents at his personal residence." The findings at Mike Pence's residence come as President Joe Biden faces mounting criticism, which had also come from Mike Pence, over the discovery of classified materials at Biden's old office at a Washington, D.C. think tank and at his Delaware home. Greg Jacob, the attorney representing Mike Pence, wrote to the National Archives that Pence used outside counsel with experience handling classified documents to review records stored at his personal home after several classified documents were found at Joe Biden's home recently. Lawyers conducting the search found a small number of documents that could potentially contain sensitive or classified information interspersed throughout the records. Mike Pence's team was unable to provide an exact number of documents recovered or additional descriptions of the materials because they were locked away until they could be turned over to the National Archives. In a Sunday, 22nd of January letter to the National Archives, Greg Jacobs explained that FBI agents came to Mike Pence's home on Thursday night, 19th of January, to collect the documents that had been stored away. He indicated that Mike Pence agreed to turn over the two boxes with materials containing classified markings, as well as two other boxes with copies of administration records. Greg Jacobs expressed confidence that a thorough review would find the majority of documents in all four boxes were copies of records that had already been sent to the National Archives. The findings at Mike Pence's home make him the third former or current top U.S. official to have stored classified materials from his time in office at his home, following Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. The Presidential Records Act requires presidents and vice presidents to turn documents over to the National Archives for proper preservation after their elected terms end. While Joe Biden and Mike Pence notified the National Archives and turned over the materials, Donald Trump was uncooperative with federal officials after they requested he return documents stored at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. The fight culminated in an FBI search at Mar-a-Lago last August, and the Justice Department has appointed a special counsel to investigate Donald Trump's handling of classified materials, as well as his actions surrounding the 6th of January 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. The American newspaper The Hill has also covered this story and tells us more. FBI Director Christopher Wray on Thursday, 26th of January, lamented the frequent mishandling of classified documents following the recent discovery of classified materials at former Vice President Mike Pence's Indiana home. Christopher Wray said at a press conference on Thursday, "We have had for quite a number of years any number of mishandling investigations." That is unfortunately a regular part of our counterintelligence division's counterintelligence programs work. The small number of documents found at Mike Pence's home follow a series of classified documents being discovered that have plagued President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. Christopher Wray said, "People need to be conscious of the rules regarding classified information and appropriate handling of classified materials. Those rules are there for a reason." According to CNN, in the wake of the slew of discoveries, the National Archives have reportedly asked former presidents and vice presidents to search their personal records to ensure they do not inadvertently contain any presidential records, including classified materials. Mike Pence was asked in Iowa last summer, in the wake of the FBI search, whether he had retained classified information upon leaving office. He said at the time, "No, not to my knowledge." Pence has been among the Republicans criticizing Joe Biden in recent weeks over the discovery of classified documents at his old office and at his Wilmington, Delaware home. From Biden's time as vice president and as a Delaware senator, Mike Pence praised the decision to appoint a special counsel to investigate Joe Biden's handling of these documents, arguing it would have been a double standard to name one of Donald Trump's case, but not the current president's. The former vice president was also critical of the Biden White House for waiting roughly 2 months to disclose that it found classified materials at the president's old office from the time they were first discovered on 2nd of November 2022. Mike Pence is weighing whether to run for president in 2024, having visited early voting states including Iowa, South Carolina, and New Hampshire frequently over the past year. It's unclear whether recent disclosures will affect his standing with voters, but some were quick to highlight how his handling of the documents compared to Donald Trump. The website Axios has also covered this story and tells us more. A new ABC News Ipsos opinion poll finds strong majorities of Americans believe that both President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump acted inappropriately when it came to their handling of classified documents. But in weighing their severity, a plurality of the public believes Donald Trump's actions were more serious. Over three-quarters of the public, or 77%, feel that Donald Trump acted inappropriately in the way he handled classified files, while 64% say the same for Joe Biden. Condemnation expectedly aligns along party lines, with 96% of Democrats saying that Donald Trump's handling of classified documents was not appropriate, compared to 47% of Republicans. Per the ABC News Ipsos opinion poll conducted using Ipsos's Knowledge Panel, more than 8 in 10 independents, or 83%, believe that Donald Trump's behavior was inappropriate. Reaction to Joe Biden's actions on this matter similarly varies by party, with 89% of Republicans saying that Joe Biden's handling of classified documents was not appropriate, compared to 38% of Democrats and two-thirds of independents. Both Biden and Trump are under heavy scrutiny due to the discovery of classified files located amid personal items or in unsecured facilities, instead of housed at the National Archives where they belong, though there are key differences in each case. This opinion poll finds that more than twice as many Americans think that Donald Trump's actions were more severe than Joe Biden's, with 43% saying Trump's behavior was a more serious concern, and 20% saying Joe Biden's behavior was more serious. Still, nearly a third of the public, or 30%, finds the actions of both to be equally serious. Partisan breakdowns once again show a stark contrast, with the overwhelming majority of Democrats, 84%, saying Donald Trump's behavior was more serious, compared to a thin 7% of Republicans who say the same. Although they are likely to give more leeway to the former president, Republicans seem less bullish here, with only a bare majority, or 53% of those identifying with the GOP, saying Biden's handling of classified documents was more serious. Independent voters are much more likely to say Donald Trump's behavior was more serious than Joe Biden's, with 43% to 14%.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-analysis. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of self-analysis in the Islamic lifestyle. When we say we need to analyze ourselves to know where we stand, where we were from, where we will go, and what steps do we need to take, these are all analyses that we need to do and then take the right step. If we do not take the right step, then we can be led astray. We can follow the wrong path if we do not know about ourselves, if we do not analyze ourselves, where do we stand? On the other hand, we know that there is a power which is known as nafs or aql, which is the self, soul, or the intellect, the pure intellect, which helps us to think, to ponder, to take us towards the right path. And on the other hand, we see that in the Quran, Allah has said, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. Certainly the nafs, or the soul, or the self, or the humans, it orders them to follow the evil. That is nafsul ammara, لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. It takes them towards the evil, except upon whom Allah has the mercy. Therefore, sometimes we might think, like, what is this nafs then? It is better to know about the types of nafs. We have a nafs or aql which is known as nafs al-shahwani, which is the lustful nafs. The other kind of nafs is emotional nafs. And then the last is pure intellect, or the pure nafs. Therefore, when in the different verses of the Quran, if it is praised, but like the nafs has been praised, it is about the pure nafs, pure intellect. And if the things are said which is against the nafs, then it is the other two kinds of nafs, which we must know and we must have knowledge of them, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of self-analysis in the Islamic lifestyle. When we do the self-analysis, we must know where do we stand. We must know the nafs that we have at the moment, the aql or the intellect which I am using at the moment. What kind of intellect is that? What kind of nafs is that? Therefore, we must know about these types. The major three types, which I have said before the break, it was the lustful nafs, or the lustful intellect. And then we have the emotional intellect, and then the pure intellect. The people who are involved in the lust, who say, like, this is the only life that you have and there is no other life, so enjoy your life. They're always in the lust. They think about it. They have this nafs, or the aql, or the intellect, which is full of lust, and they only think about that. Even the analysis, the intellectual analysis, when they do for themselves, they do it according to the lust. Therefore, we need to take ourselves out of this. On the other hand, there is another intellect which is known as the emotional intellect, emotional nafs. At the moment, we can see, for example, if there is a Muslim brother or sister, we deal with Islam emotionally. You know, our emotions are strong towards Islam. We do not bear any words against the Islam, but we do not think intellectually. We do not bring good reasons. We were Muslims because of our parents, and we have this emotional relation with this. And that's why most of the Muslims, they have this nafs in them, and they cannot analyze if anything goes against their emotions. On the other hand, the third category is pure intellect, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us towards, where Allah in the Quran says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Don't you think, don't you ponder, don't you apply reasons? And these reasoning and pondering is the one which is aql mahz, or the pure intellect, which can take us towards the perfection. Therefore, when analyzing ourselves, we first need to see that what kind of nafs do we have? Am I too emotional in the Islam? Am I too lustful? Or do I need to follow the pure intellect, inshallah? Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Thank you.
On January 3rd, U.S. police stole the life of another black man, Kenan Anderson.
Please don't shoot it. Please don't shoot it, sir. Please.
A 35-year-old father and school teacher. That day, Kenan was in a minor traffic accident in Venice, California. He asked the police for help, but was treated like a criminal. Kenan was chased, held face down on the asphalt, and tased several times by the Los Angeles Police Department, LAPD, as he begged for his life. He went into cardiac arrest and died. The release of body cam footage a couple of weeks later prompted a furious reaction on social media. Comedian Travon Free called for the LAPD to be held accountable at all costs in a viral post on Twitter. The LAPD murdered Kenan Anderson, a beloved high school English teacher and father who flagged them down for help after a car accident. He was a threat to no one. He needed help, and it cost him his life. Like many of the incidents with police killings, the footage reveals an utter lack of regard for addressing the ingrained disenfranchisement of black Americans.
I think it's part of a bigger problem that we've had in this country for centuries, right? I mean, our country has a sad founding in slavery. And, you know, when we moved away from slavery as a country, you know, the way we did that in part was by people saying, okay, well, now we're just going to police these minority groups harder, right? So slavery doesn't exist, but we're going to make their lives harder through the laws, through Jim Crow laws, and we're going to police them hard, and we're going to make sure that minorities aren't really treated as equals in this country. And so I think what you're seeing today is still just a part of that, a part of really unfair policing in our country of minorities that's existed for centuries.
Anderson was a cousin of Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors. In the wake of his death, Cullors wrote, "Kenan deserves to be alive right now. His child deserves to be raised by his father. Kenan, we will fight for you and for all of our loved ones impacted by state violence." Los Angeles Police Department is now pushing a narrative that Kenan Anderson is responsible for his own death. Preliminary toxicology tests performed in Anderson's body by the police department itself have found traces of cannabinoids and cocaine metabolite in his system, results that in no way diminish the extreme violence inflicted on Anderson by the police. The idea that drug possession or use by black people creates grounds enough to warrant police violence, even deadly violence, has marked half a century of U.S. policing. Cops from the department that murdered George Floyd attempted to blame his death on the fentanyl found present in his system, too.
You also learn, ladies and gentlemen, that George Floyd struggled with an opioid addiction. He struggled with it for years. You will learn that he did not die from a drug overdose. He did not die from an opioid overdose. We're going to ask at the end of this case that you find Mr. Chauvin guilty for his excessive use of force against George Floyd that was an assault that contributed to taking his life, and for engaging in imminently dangerous behavior, putting the knee on the neck, the knee on the back, for 9 minutes and 29 seconds without regard for Mr. Floyd's life. We're going to ask that you find him guilty of murder in the second degree, murder in the third degree, and second degree manslaughter.
In the words of Melanie Okoa, director of police practices at the American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California, LAPD's disclosure of information about incidents in which its officers kill people are public relations actions. They're not a public information service. The fact that the LAPD is deploying this public relations tactic almost 3 years after George Floyd's death is a grim reminder of how little has changed.
That this pattern of race-based policing is caused primarily by an organizational culture that can be described in three ways. First, flawed training, which emphasized a paramilitary approach to policing. Second, deficient accountability systems that are designed to not hold officers accountable for misconduct, and therefore failed to hold officers accountable for misconduct. And lastly, former and current city and MPD leaders who have not collectively acted with the urgency, coordination, and intentionality necessary to address racial disparities in policing, to improve public safety, and increase community trust.
In a paper published in the science journal Neuron in 2020, Carl Hart, a professor of psychology at Columbia University, who researches drug addiction, said the exaggeration of the negative impacts of recreational drug use have been used to justify police brutality against black people. Kenan Anderson's death was a tragedy on many levels. He was one of America's few black male teachers. Only 7% of America's teachers are black, and less than 2% are black men. Meanwhile, studies have shown the racial disparities in U.S. policing. Despite making up less than 14% of the population, black people are three times more likely than white people to die at the hands of the police. This situation creates a life-or-death lottery whenever black people encounter the police. In 2022, police killed 1,176 people, more killings in any of the last 10 years.
I think it is getting worse every time because of the toxic politics, the rhetoric from Washington, from the White House, from the Capitol Hill about the very existence. I remember that during President Trump's presidency, there were a lot of discussions about these racially charged issues, and they basically dismissed that, and that exasperated the issue, the disagreements. Mm. And President Biden promised to tackle that, but I have not seen any meaningful measures, at least on the national level, to tackle this.
The reality of U.S. policing persists as a shameless and reform-resistant threat to black lives. The uprisings that followed Floyd's murder were met with harsh state repression in the streets, and calls to defund the police were derided as delusional. Police budgets have further swelled, and impunity has remained almost unconditional. According to U.S. civil rights activist Bishop Talbert Swan, the cold and callous way black life is handled by those sworn to protect and serve is indicative of the staying power of white supremacy and systemic racism, which is the foundation of these yet-to-be United States.
I really feel disrespected, to be honest with you. I think that the Speaker of the City Council, Cory Johnson, and the mayor believe that perhaps we don't have the intellect to be able to tell the difference between accounting tricks and actually defunding the police. We asked for defunding the police because we understand that police do not make black communities safe, and we wanted more funding for the programs that that do make us safe.
Kenan was one of the three men of color who lost their lives in early January following unnecessarily violent encounters with the Los Angeles Police Department. Two of the men, Takar Smith and Oscar Sanchez, were fatally shot. Moreover, Kenan Anderson's death has exposed the post-George Floyd frauds. Polling in early September 2020 showed many Americans, particularly white Americans, support for the Black Lives Matter movement receded just 3 months after Floyd's murder, with a majority opposed to the movement for racial justice. In the aftermath of George Floyd's death, millions of Americans poured to the streets, giving impetus to the Black Lives Matter movement. But now, 3 years after, black Americans are still desperately trying to forge a consensus on how to stop the senseless, unprovoked violence of police officers. While it's a new year, black people are already feeling the sting of the same racist tactics repeatedly deployed by U.S. police.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا
أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Welcome back, respected brothers and sisters. Thanks for joining us again. Inshallah, now we are going to recite some verses of the Holy Quran. And we're trying to focus on the pronunciation of these Arabic alphabet letters that we have studied, okay? We'll pay close attention to the pronunciations, to the articulation points, okay?
Okay.
And inshallah, we'll apply them on the verses of the Holy Quran. I want you to get your Quran, page 600, Surah At-Takathur. 8 verses, it has chapter 30. So, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, we will recite, inshallah, this surah. Then, one by one, I will ask you to read, okay?
Okay.
Let's recite a salawat and start.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal
farajan. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
So now in أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم we have two letters which are important okay three letters أعوذ
عين
عين حمزة also أعوذ Okay, أعوذ ذال بالله ها is as well here
yes.
من الشيطان الرجيم okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
A'udhu. A'udhu. Some students say A'udhu. They replace Ayn and Hamza. That's wrong. It's wrong. A'udhu. No. Or both of them, if you produce the sound of Ayn with both of them, that's as well. Wrong, okay? A'udhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
Great. In Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we have three important letters, okay? Two of them are Ha, and one of them is?
Ra.
Ha. And also Ra. Ra is also. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim
We have to pay attention. Do you know if you say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, the meaning of the words change, and so whatever the ayah tries to give you another meaning, so you by like reading it wrongly, so you're trying to give it like a wrong meaning. It's not okay.
Tough.
So that's why Arabic is like a serious language. It's a very much focused language. Okay, so you have to be careful about the pronunciation of the letters. Okay, now let's continue to the surah. ألهاكم التكاثر
ألهاكم التكاثر
Okay, ألهاكم التكاثر ألهاكم التكاثر
ألهاكم التكاثر
حتى زرتم المقابر
حتى زرتم المقابر
Okay, look, if you say بير بير if you produce a heavy raw sound, this is wrong according to تجويد, okay? So I told you it's conditional. So if it has a kasra before it,
it is light one.
Okay. حتى زور زور. Look, this one, it has a dhamma or fatha. If a dhamma or fatha, so it produces that heavy sound. Okay. Yeah. But if it has like a kasra before it, so remember it's a light letter. حتى زرتم المقابر.
حتى زرتم المقابر.
كلا سوف تعلمون.
كلا سوف تعلمون.
Okay, the letter عين. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. تعلمون. Okay. Next one. ثم كلا سوف تعلمون.
ثم كلا سوف تعلمون.
أحسن. ثم تعلمون. Right.
تعلمون.
The next ayahs you have to find. Okay, which letters we have to focus. كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين.
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين.
أحسن. Look at the letter قاف. It has that heavy or gruffness again. Yes, it has a kasra, but it's, again, it has that heavy pronunciation. Yanqin.
Boldness.
Yeah, that has a bold sound or a gruff sound. We say, yeah. Okay, which letters?
Okay, ayn.
Ayn and qaf. Okay, good, good.
Two ayn.
Yeah, two ayn we have.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents.
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
لن ترون الجحيم. أحسن. Which letter?
Ha.
جحيم. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
ثم لن ترونها عين اليقين.
ثم لن ترونها عين اليقين.
Okay, so in this ayah, ثم لن ترونها عين اليقين. How many light sounds do you hear? Listen up. I will recite. How many light sounds? Count the light sounds. Okay. A sound, a, not a sound. ثم لن ترونها عين اليقين. How many?
Four or five.
Let me do it again.
Four or five.
So I will read it slowly, okay? More slowly, okay? Pay attention. ثم لن ترونها عين اليقين.
Eight. 11.
It's very important to understand the light sound, yes?
Nine.
Okay.
11.
Nine. So good. So I didn't count it, okay? It's about, yeah, 8, 9.
Nine.
Now,
ten.
Okay, now the heavy letters. Heavy sounds, okay? All sound. ثم لن ترونها عين اليقين.
Two.
Two.
Four. Two.
Three.
Four.
It was
two. Four.
Three.
Three.
Three. Two.
Are you sure?
Two.
One.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That was with Ra. We don't have any heavy letter here. We have just Ra and nice. Qaf. Qaf here, it has a kasra. So it doesn't have that A sound here. Only
two.
The letter Ra has. La ta ra. Ra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Pay more attention. Come on. Okay. So now, next ayah.
ثم لن تسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. ثم لن تسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
ما شاء الله. Which letters we have to pay attention?
Okay. عين.
from four.
Ain.
Ain Hamza. Noon.
Okay.
No,
not,
yeah.
Ain. Do not say tha. Tha.
Tha. Yes.
Tha. Tha. So tha.
Dal. Dal. Dal.
Dal.
And ain.
Ain. Ain and
Hamza.
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 Okay. ثم لتسألن يوم إذ عن النعيم. If you have like عين problem, you have to fix it, okay? Go to the doctor, fix it. عين. Because some students, okay, instead of عين, always they say a, and instead of a, always they say a.
Yeah.
I had one student, okay, always he was saying like, ثم لترون أين اليقين. When it comes to ثم لتسألن, he's saying, okay, ثم الحمد لله. Look, الحمد لله, they say الرحمن. Well, it's a, pay attention, because the meaning of the word changes. Be careful, okay? So Hussein Musa,
yes,
please recite this surah. We'll be listening to you
from the beginning.
Yeah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
We will be listening to you in case you make a mistake, okay? We'll attack.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسن.
ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. كلا سوف تعلمون.
There was a mistake, right?
Yeah.
What was the mistake?
Also, بير مقابر.
Bir, you say it again.
Yeah, bir.
No, no, bir.
Bir.
Bir. Low sound, okay? A lower sound. Say it. Hatta.
Hatta zurtumul maqabir.
Maqo.
Maqabir.
Yeah.
Maqabir.
That's nice. Maqo. O. Bir.
Maqabir.
That's nice.
Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun.
Oh, what was the mistake?
Ayn.
Ayn.
Ta'lamun.
Fix your ayn, okay?
Sorry, I said
ayn. I mean, not your eyes, okay? The letter ayn. If you say ta'lamun, what does it mean? Ta'lamun means they have pain, okay?
Yes.
They have pain. They are hurting, okay, themselves, for example.
I said ayn, but I said it low.
If you say ta'lamun, it means they know.
Yeah.
If you say ta'lamun, Hamza, it means
they have pain.
They have pain, yes.
Two different meanings. Look, we do not say that ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَوْلَمُونَ, then they will have pain. No. Then they will understand. Then they will know. The meaning is this, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
I read it again?
Yeah. ثُمَّ.
ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ.
That's good. That's good.
كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ.
أحسن.
لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ. ثم لترونها عين اليقين.
That's nice.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
Very good.
He didn't pronounce
الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Competition in worldly increase diverts you. Until you visit the graveyards. No, you are going to know.
ثم كلا سوف تعلمون.
Then no, you are going to know.
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين.
No, if you only knew with knowledge of certainty.
لترون الجحيم.
You will surely see the hell fire.
ثم لترونها عين اليقين.
Then you will surely see it with the eye of certainty.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
then you will surely be asked that day about pleasure.
So thank you so much for joining us. Alhamdulillah, we learned the Arabic alphabet letters correctly now, the pronunciation, the articulation points. Thank you so much. Thanks for being with us. See you in the next session. But before we end, let's give a thanks to a big thanks to Allah Almighty. And then a big thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network.
And the students.
The students. Yeah, Hussein Musa, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, Haider Karrar, and also Ali Nasser and me, Habibullah Faseza. Thank you so much. See you inshallah in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is